thank you, awesome God, because of your love and faithfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Where you are, I want to bow down your head and talk to God and say, God, minister to me this morning. Bring your word to me fresh. Bring your word to me strong. Bring me to a bigger and clearer understanding. Turn my life around. Make me have testimony. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we trust you this morning that you will help us, that you will minister to us. In Jesus' name we are praying. Give your hands together, put your hands together for Jesus. For Jesus, I'm not saying you should clap for me. Hallelujah. First and foremost, I want to talk about our habits. You know, today I'm going to be preaching on grace is the cure for sin. We started that series last week or last 2 weeks. And so we began to see what the function, what role did grace play in redemption. And we began to see that sin has become a major problem for many believers. But sin was taken care of over 2,000 years ago. The reason Jesus went to the cross was to destroy the sin and the power of sin. But still today, or till date, believers are still going through the struggle of sin. If you ask many people, what's your greatest challenge today? Among rich, poor, old, and young, it has always been one issue or the other related to sin. Many of us are living in sin consciousness, like you are always thinking you are a sinner, even when you don't sin. I don't know, some of you, at times you want to pray, I'll be like, God, remind me all the sin I've committed, even when you can't remember anyone. You are trying to bring out something that is not there. The Bible says, blessed are they that their iniquities are taken away, forgiven, and their sins are cleansed. And still yet, you still see people trying to make God remember what he has forgotten and what he has forgiven. Praise God. And because of the consciousness of sin, many of us lose confidence. You don't release your faith in the place of prayer. For instance, you wake up. One of the most amazing time for me to is at the middle of the night. That's when I pray more. I pray with concentration. And so, you know, I struggled with that for a long time. Those days when I got born again, I pray like 2 hours at night. Just pray. Just pray. And so the devil would just come and say, you sinner, do you think God will hear you? It was later in my understanding I discovered that when a man is born again, he's not a sinner, he's a saint. Say, I am a saint. If you are not born again, you don't say it. Say, I am a saint. Yeah. You are a saint. So anytime the devil comes to you and says you are a sinner, tell him he's a liar, because he has lied from the beginning. The Bible says he lied, he's the father of all liars. In fact, anything the devil tell you, take the opposite. Because in him, the Bible says there's no truth. Praise God. Praise God. So we want, many people have abused grace. Today, in the name of grace, even some people who are born again, they now give, they think grace is the audacity to sin without apology. You see somebody who calls himself a Christian today, misbehaving in sin. And when you ask him, he will say, I don't have apology for that. Grace is covering me. Grace is the antidote. Grace is the cure for sin. Grace is not an excuse to sin. You don't sin and say grace covers. The reason you should not sin is because there is grace. Grace is not the reason you should be in sin. Grace is the reason you should live above sin. Hallelujah. And look at the teaching today in different churches. every word today, teaching of grace, grace, hear that one, this one, grace. And the life of people are getting worse in the name of grace. Grace has been totally abused. And let me tell you this. Before the dispensation, say after me, say dispensation. Come on, say louder, say dispensation. Before the dispensation of grace, we have what we call the dispensation of the law that was given unto the children of Israel. Dispensation of the law. There was when we have the dispensation of promise during Abraham. When they moved from promise, they now moved to law. When they now say, tell God, whatever he asks us to do, we will do it. Law came in. It was a dispensation. That everyone under that dispensation have to survive by obeying one law or the other. It was a dispensation. And under that dispensation, if you break one law, you break all. And under that dispensation, for you to be free from sin, you will make annual sacrifice. You make annual sacrifice with lamb, with the blood of lamb, the blood of animals, to get your sin forgiven under that dispensation. Under that dispensation, sin was evidence. Under the dispensation of promise, there was sin. But sin was not made known to man. It was law that came and revealed the sin of man. Let me explain law to you. Law is like a mirror. You may never know there is pimple on your face, or there is, especially for sisters, you know, you check mirror like constantly. You understand? Maybe your makeup is still intact, or it's not intact again. Hallelujah. So you will know there's a wrinkle on your face until you see a mirror. When you see a mirror, it is the mirror that was exposed to you. That is what the law came to do. The law magnified the sin of man. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15, let me show you verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. Let me show you. I need you to follow me attentively. This teaching will change your life if you will follow. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Verse 56. If you have your Bible with you, let's all read verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Law got strength. Law empowered sin. Law amplified sin in a man. Praise God. How many of you observe something? How many of you observe something? Those days when we were in primary school or secondary school, if you are walking on the street and you go through different flats with gates, anyone you see, do not beware of dog, or do not touch, beware of this. There is the inclination to take stone and throw on that gate. The law steers sin in man. If children are going from school home and they see on a gate where they write beware of dog, they want to confirm that is what the law did. The law, that's a law on that gate. So the law informs sin. And so the man would not have thought of throwing gates, throwing stone at the gate, if not for the law that was written on the gate. Beware of dog. Beware of dog. Let me confirm. If really, let me make you laugh. My father-in-law happens to be a retired policeman. So he has plenty girls, including my wife, about five of them, or four of them. So on the front of his house, he wrote, beware of snake. On the gate, beware of snake. So anytime we come to that house, we'll be like, where is this snake in this house? So that law will scare men away. But we brothers, we still go to the house. Say, where is he? You know, some of us, we ask ourselves, maybe he used to release the snake at night. Only him knew where he kept the snake. Praise God. Beware of snake. Everybody, anytime we leave the house, where is this man keep snake inside of this house? You know, we discuss the house anytime we leave the house. This man kept snake. Later, we discover that there was no snake. It was a law to keep brethren away, but still yet brethren were still coming. Hallelujah. The law is the strength of sin. And so, the more, you know, let me tell you what happened under the dispensation of law. For them to remember so that they will not sin, they wrote the law on their doorpost so that when they are going out, they will see it. So the more they see it, Apostle Paul, I'm going to show you. Apostle Paul said, if not for the law, I will not know that fornication is a sin. I will not even want to fornicate because I will not know. He began to, he said, I want to do good things, but I could not do it. He said, the law came. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 from verse 15. Tell your neighbor, this is wonderful. See, if you understand this message, you will live a life of freedom. And let me tell you this. I am living a life of joy. Understanding has given me victory over the manipulation of sin. And you can live that kind of life. You don't need Psalm 51 to get cleansed before the Lord all the time. You are sanctified. Tell your neighbor, say, you are sanctified. This song that is, you know, I brought up and sang it when we were coming from Iwo. Kise ise owo mi. Hey! Lo le mu o fi rese. Eyin te mo ejo e ba ko. Sola so. One, go for it. They are not enough. Oh, you. Now listen to me. Your works under the law, they will have to do for God to do. That's the law. And that is what we call covenant. God was in covenant with them. What is covenant? Covenant is a terms of arrangement where you will have to play a particular part before I play a particular part. And so God was in covenant with them that if you keep the law, by keeping the law, I will bless you. That's why I have, when understanding came, all of my children, I didn't allow anybody to read Deuteronomy 28 on them. Most of us that were born in the CNS, when you were named, they recited Deuteronomy 28 over your life. And what is Deuteronomy 28? And it shall be, if you hearken unto this law, me, hearken, which law? If you hearken unto this law, which the Lord thy God has commanded thee this day, then will your love God. Some of you are doing as if you don't know Deuteronomy 28. Even me, I have used it to name children. Wherever those children are, I pray for them that law will not walk over their life. Now let me read Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations, then with the Lord thy God. So that was what was happening under the dispensation of law. Then we have to do something before God do something. But glory to God. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. For we are blessed. Tell your neighbor, I am blessed. You are blessed. You didn't do anything to get blessed. It was Jesus that did it. You were blessed because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. The strength of sin is the law. Law informs. Law steers sin. And so when law came, the more they saw the law, the more they were prone to sin. How many of you remember when they were moving in the wilderness, they got to a place called Philistine, and Moses was giving them the law. They were gathered. Why Moses was teaching them the law? One man stood up and went to a prostitute. Why is like we are in church and someone said, teaching the law, fornication, do not fornicate. And the man stood up as he heard, do not commit adultery. He went and took one of the Philistine women and took her into the room right there. So the law was empowering them instead of delivering them. The law demands from you righteousness but cannot empower you for righteousness. And that's why God saw And that's why if you read Hebrew chapter 8, he said God, seeing that this arrangement was has fault in it. What is the fault? It can demand righteousness from man, but cannot empower man. He said, so God took the Old Testament, which is the arrangement of the law, and gave them new. The book of Hebrew. Let me show you. Hebrew chapter 8. You know, I've quoted a lot of scriptures we have not touched. We are going to touch it. Are you learning something this morning? I want you to follow me attentively. It is knowledge that makes you live a life of freedom. Even after you get born again. If you don't know, you will still struggle in sin. You will struggle with addiction. You see, so many believers, if they tell you what they are going through. Some believers are addicted to pornography. Addicted to masturbation. Deliverance is not enough. When you have the deliverance of the mind, because you commit, you say somebody is addicted to pornography, and you say, get out, you this demon. You cast out the demon, he still come back into the demon still enter. No, until knowledge enters the person. People are going through a lot of struggles. My people perish because they can't speak in tongues. Talk to me. My people perish because they don't wear white garments. They perish because they are ignorant. When you know, the devil does not respect a Christian who speaks in tongues. He respects a Syrian who knows the meaning of speaking in tongues. You can be speaking in tongues and not know the capacity of what it means. When I open my mouth in the middle of the night and say, Nahatikus Katila, Raske Ponahanda, when I'm speaking, certain scriptures are rolling in my spirit. I'm not just speaking, I am speaking with understanding. So the devil does not just respect a man who speaks, he respects a man who have a backing knowledge of what he's saying. In Acts chapter 19, the sons of Sceva took that man that was possessed and he asked them a question they didn't know. Knowledge. What the devil respects is knowledge. And when he asked them, he said, you, I know Jesus. You just say in the name of Jesus, and I know Jesus. Do you know what he said? In the name of Jesus that Paul preached. He said, I know Jesus. And I know Paul. Sir, who are you? That question is a question of knowledge. If they have answered and said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he would have respected them. And so when that demon asked them that question, they were looking at themselves. It made me remember the story of one pastor and a church member. They were conducting deliverance. And the pastor said, I stand on Christ Jesus the rock. And the demon looked at the member and said, you, where are you standing? And now I say, I'm standing on the ground, number 140. On the ground. Where? On the ground of what? The ground of what? Peter said, on the ground of your word, I will cast the net. Knowledge is key. See, all these gifts, it's good to have gifts. But you can be gifted and not be lifted if you don't have knowledge. Yes. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this to you now. Hebrews 8 and verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, it has fought the covenant of the law, which is Old Testament, where men are asked to do something before God does something. It has fought. I'm reading verse 7. Then should no place have been sought for the second. Verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, and said the Lord, I will make a new covenant. And that's the covenant of grace. May I love this song. Amazing grace, how sweet thou sound, thou set a wretch like me. Sing it like somebody who has been saved. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Hey! Was blind, my eyes is open. Amazing grace. I will make a new covenant. What is the covenant? Look at it. He said, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, I said the Lord. I will put a new law into their mind, write them in their heart, and I will be a God. I will be to them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. This covenant is the covenant of grace. And God enter covenant into covenant not with you. God is not in covenant with you. He entered into covenant with Jesus, and Jesus fulfilled the covenant, and you enjoy the benefit of the covenant. And the benefit of the covenant is called grace. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8, you were saved by grace through faith. He said, it is not of works, it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. You didn't do anything, you just received it. And that's why in the new covenant, we don't attain righteousness, we obtain righteousness. In the law, in the dispensation of the law, they try to attain righteousness. Nobody except one person, Jesus. He made him who had no sin to become sin. He said himself in John chapter 14 and verse 30. He said, the prince of this world came and found nothing in me. Only him, one man, who was able to fulfill the law. Now let me tell you something. On the cross, when Jesus said, it is finished, he was not saying, I want to die. He was not saying, he's saying, I have finished the perfection, the demand. I have satisfied the demand of the law. What is the demand of the law? Whosoever sinned must die. And so the demand, when the sin of the world was put on Jesus to satisfy the demand of the law, that whosoever sin must die, Jesus has to give up the ghost. So when he said, it is finished, I have satisfied the demand. Now for me to now come and start bringing law back to you, I am abusing what Jesus has done. And that's why a lot of legalistic preaching going on, taking you back from the dispensation of grace. Many of you think you can attain righteousness by what you do. What? There is a righteousness that is of God. There is a righteousness that is of man. The righteousness that is of God is not attainable by man, only obtainable by man through Christ. Say, I have obtained it. Yeah. There is religious kind of righteousness. I was speaking about Mahatma Gandhi. How many of you know Mahatma Gandhi? Mahatma Gandhi was a moralist. He was so moral that he became an idol. People were worshipping. Now, he established a kind of righteousness in his religion. And what is the righteousness? For you to be so disciplined, they will ask you, if you want to become one of his disciples, you will sleep with a woman who is not your wife. Naked, the two of you on the bed, and you must not sleep with her. That is, you are righteous, and you will sleep with her, sleep on the same bed for some numbers of days. For them, that is the attainment of righteousness. You sleep, and they say, if anybody sleep with a woman that is, can you imagine? They keep a woman with somebody naked, the two, they will sleep naked on the same bed, and he must not sleep with her. Then when he does that for some numbers of days, then he is righteous. That's called the establishing. The Bible says they go about establishing their own righteousness that is not after God. The same thing with the Hindu religion. The same thing with Islam. There's a level you operate in Islam, you are called righteous. When you do ablution the way you should do it, put water where you should put it, put bowels 5 times in a day, give alms, that is their own standard of righteousness. But there's a righteousness that comes from God. And that's why the Bible says, all of those righteousness established by religion put together is like a filthy rag before God. You are still smelling. Men establishing their own kind. I really want to be stable. I've quoted certain scriptures I've not been able to touch. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 from verse 15. Very, very important. Romans 7, verse 15. Are you learning something this morning? I'm going to read. This is a man who once struggled under the dispensation of law. Listen to what he's saying. For what I wish I do, I allow not. For what I would. Hello there. Give me that version of the. King James this day, the way the English is, you need special attention. Thank you very much. Thank you. I do not understand myself at all. When you see a man struggling with sin, I remember those days in school, one brother came to me and said, I'm tired. I said, what happened? He said, I keep falling into fornication. He said, and I've prayed one prayer. Anytime I do it again, God kill me. That's desperation. He has tried to let go. He could not. He's struggling. That's what Paul talked. Share his struggle. You know, before he entered into grace. Look at his struggle here. I do not understand myself, for I really want to do what is right. Is there anybody who doesn't want to do what is right? There's nobody. I really want to do. There's nobody that doesn't want to do. Many people want to do what is right. People want to live a life free of sin. There's nobody that says, I just want to sin, except an unbeliever. But if you are a believer, you have the inclination to do what is right. Now look at it. He says, but I cannot. I do what I don't want to. For what I hate, I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong. And my bad conscience prove that I agree with these laws I am breaking. But I can't help myself because I am no longer doing it. It is sin inside me that is stronger than I am that makes me do these evil things. It is sin. Hello, hello, can you talk to me? What is the strength of sin? Talk to me. What is the strength of sin? What is Paul saying here? He said, the law has so empowered sin in me that I can't resist committing sin. I don't care what you're going through now. I don't care the struggle you are going through with sin. You can be delivered. You can be free. By understanding. Say by understanding. Yeah. You see, I love something about the Bible. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and from verse 14. He said, we do not have a priest that does not have the feeling of an infirmity. Though he was tempted like us, but never commit sin. He knows what it means to be tempted. That's what the Bible is saying. But he did not commit sin. He knows what it means when you are going through a particular temptation in your life. A period of trial and struggle. Jesus knew what it means to be tempted. And that's why in his redemption plan, mercy and compassion follows. He knew what it means to be tempted. He was tempted with hunger. How many of you remember that? In Luke chapter 4. He was tempted with hunger. He was tempted with money. He was tempted with oil. He was tempted with power. Possibly tempted with woman. You know why I found out that? In John chapter 4, when that woman, she thought Jesus wanted to toast her. And I say, you say, me, I'm a Samaritan. You know, when she saw a handsome man, Jesus handsome, but that song is for Jesus. She saw fine hair, neat guy, clean, spotless. I said, can you give me water? She thought it's a toasting style. Jesus came with. You know, like, can you give me your number? He say, you know, so it's the normal way when you ask a lady, can you give me your number? No, how will I give you a number? I'm from Lagos. You from Ibadan. How will I give you a number? That was what she was saying. How do I give you water? I am a Samaritan. And Jesus looked at her. She thought Jesus was a toaster. She didn't know he was the Messiah. I just said, woman, if you know who is standing, because he knows she didn't know. Because that woman was, she has issues with men. So she thought Jesus was another man that was coming into her life. I said, the woman said, you know, said, if you know the one that is standing before you, I don't only have capacity to give you water. I can give you water. Meaning, you have met men who try to satisfy your hunger, but they couldn't. But here is a man that will satisfy your hunger forever. There's a vacuum in the life of that woman. Until Jesus came, the vacuum was not filled. And Jesus said to her, madam, give me water. Say, why should I give you water? He now asked her. Jesus went prophetic. He said, woman, where is your husband? He knew she has issue. Because as he was talking to her, her issue was husband. Jesus already in her mind was becoming a potential husband. The next question Jesus asked her, where's your husband? I said, I don't have any husband. The one you camp in your house presently is not even your husband. Hey. Say, I perceive, sir, that you are a prophet. Her tone change. You will have major encounter you will never forget. So he was tempted with all kind of things, but did not commit sin. He knows what it means when you are going through struggles of sin. And don't condemn yourself, because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, for there is therefore no condemnation for they who are in Galatians 2 and verse 20. The life I now live is no more my life. I have been crucified with him. Oh my God. You see, you people should start listening to good song. Start listening to good song. Let me not go there. Because if I start searching your phones now. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is sweet. How many of you know that? Now look at this. Very important. Very important. Verse 18. I know I am rotting through and through as so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. That's what many of you are trying to do. You are trying to do it by yourself. You left what Jesus has done. You want to do your own. You want to provide your own kind of salvation. You left what has been done. That was why he was telling them in Hebrew. He said, there is no any other sacrifice for sin apart from what Jesus has done. He said, if you reject that one, you will be on your own. Embrace grace. Receive it. Embrace it in your life. When I first got born again, I went through some certain struggle of sin. Even after I got born again. But as knowledge began to increase, I discovered that I am no more a slave of sin. I used to be a slave of sin when I was not born again. When you are a slave of sin, this is what you are. Paul is talking about here. You will want to do good, but you can't do it. You are a slave. Because a slave does not do what he wants. He only does what his master wants. And I discovered that I have become a slave of righteousness. And one slave cannot serve two masters. But a slave who does not know well who his master is will serve another master. And that's what many believers are going through. You are still serving another master. The master is called sin. And the power of that sin is law. Praise God. You know, we were in Iwo, and I was preaching. I went for a crusade program. And I said, when we said, we recite Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Forgive all my sins. And when you come to that place, I think verse 4 or 3, that I say is, for my sin is forever before me. Hey! What then did Jesus do in your life if your sin is forever? What has the blood of Jesus has not done anything? Your sin is no more. Jesus took care of sin. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. You shall give birth to a son. You shall name him Emmanuel. You shall call him Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sin. Sin is no more your problem. Your problem is ignorance. You don't know how much sin has been destroyed. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and from verse 15, he made a public show. He's talking about sin, death. Yeah. He make a public spectacle. Three elements. Number one, the devil. Number two, sin. This is how they showed up. The devil first showed up in the garden. He was the person that first showed up and introduced the woman to sin. And sin introduced the woman to death. The three of them were disarmed. The Bible said Jesus stripped them. He stripped them. He said he removed everything that was contrary to us. Every written arrangement, including the law. The written arrangement, the written record is the law. He removed them. He made a public spectacle of them. Let me tell you something. Three things happened to the devil. The devil has been disarmed, number one. The devil has been dethroned, number two. The devil has been destroyed. He does not have a place in your life again. And sin, the power of sin has been taken away. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he swallowed up death in victory. Death, where is thy sting? He whom through death destroyed the power of death. He died to destroy death. He had to go to the realm of death and conquer death. He said, no one took my life, I gave it. Death has no capacity to take death. It's like I have puppies in my house, puppies, small dogs. I said, that puppy wants to take my life. How? He said, no one took it, I lay it down. He was the one that gave up the ghost. He said, Father, now my soul. And so he gave his soul in the hand of God, and I delivered my own body. Death has no capacity. And so when he entered into the realm of death, all those who have been kept in the bondage of death, he released them that day. Go and check the scripture. The day Jesus resurrected, the day he entered the grave, he released Abraham. He released all of them, went to their family houses in Jerusalem, and people saw them. Because death was shut against them. Until you know, and at times, you know, Psalm 24 has a way of describing the entry of Jesus into the realm of death. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. He died for your sin, he rose for your justification. He took your place, you were justified, he was condemned. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I look at it. He said, for verse 19, for I want to do good. I don't. But when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Somehow. And some of you are saying, I'll just try. I'm trying to say, I don't want to do it again. I don't see myself doing it. Struggle with sin. I am doing what I don't want to. It is plain where the trouble is. I love this version. Sin. Look at it. He said, it is plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in his evil grasp. I am clear where the problem is. Sin still has me. What's the message version? Can we see the message version of verse 20? Now I am doing what I don't want to. It is plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me. Yes. It's alright. Hallelujah. Now look at it now. I really want us to make it very fast because of time. I still want to touch a few scriptures. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Can you imagine? In your heart, you want to do what is right. Especially when you go to panel of interview and they say, what is your age? You have made up your mind. I'm going to tell them the true age. Even if they employ me, glory to God, I know it's God giving me this job. You have spoken tongues, you have encouraged yourself. And you're, Oga, how old are you? In your heart, the real age is in your heart, but another age come out of your mouth. You know, somebody said there's nothing wrong with that. Age is just number. Well, my own level of understanding, lie is lie. No white lie, no blue lie. Whatever God will give you, he will give you. Whatever he's going to do in your life, he will do it. In fact, allow you, when age is against you, that is when you will know how God show up in people's life. Even when things have gotten odd. And so those of you who have underage in your CV, well, may the Lord convince you. Some of you say it's Nigerian factor. I ought to have graduated so year. But there's a God factor. Hallelujah. With God, how many things are possible? I've shared the testimony of a man who got a job in an oil company now with baptismal certificate. He got the job. They called him for interview. He called his brother to go and get his CV, his certificate. His brother put it on the bike behind, and air blew everything, left only baptismal certificate. And so the job they were supposed to get him for, it has to do with somebody who can swim. And so when they got there and they said, "Where's your certificate?" They said, "Well, the only one available now is by." He said, "So you have been baptized. It means you can swim." "Yeah, I can swim now." "You entered water?" "Yes." And he got the job. God wants him to prove it to him that I don't need your credential. I have a potential. So at times we struggle with what we shouldn't struggle with. Just enjoy God. Praise God. It seems to be a fact of life that I want to do what is right, but inevitably I do what is wrong. I love to do God's will as so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin. To the sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant. But instead, I find myself still enslaved to sin. Does this scripture describe anybody here? I want you to know that you can get liberty. And I'm going to show you something very deep this morning. I want you to know. Number one, you must first remove in you the consciousness of sin. Many of you are too conscious of sin. You are not conscious of Christ as you are conscious of sin. Every time, sin, sin. Even what is not sin, you say it's a sin. "Lord, I am not worthy to come into your presence." What are you saying? God said, I have accepted you. He said, "You are a saint." He said, "You have been forgiven." You said, "No. Lord, I didn't forgive myself." God said, "He has forgiven you." Praise God. A man who has not forgiven himself can never receive forgiveness from God. Yes. You have aborted pregnancy. Yes. But you are not born again. But you have refused to let go. You don't want to forgive yourself. God said, "I have forgiven you. I can't remember." You are the one trying to remember. Remind God. "Oh Lord, all the sin I have committed since when I was small, the when I got to secondary school." Somebody was telling me about restitution one day. He said, restitution is when you go born again. All the people you have stolen from, or you go and return it back. He now said, "What is?" I now say, "Can you remember how many pens you stole? Somebody's book in primary school." I said, "For you to complete this restitution, go back and look for them. Then you won't get born." Because you know when they teach restitution, they say restitution, you must have to do restitution for you to get to heaven. Salvation is not enough. That's the teaching that was coming up like 10 years ago. That salvation is not enough to take you to heaven. After salvation, there must be restitution, then you enter heaven. I've never heard that kind of teaching. The Bible says, "Whosoever he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believe in him," that is the only key. And so when that brother stood up, I said, "All the pencil you have sold, go back and restitute. All your mommy's meat. Love and won't get to Alorina no kitchen. You pick one. Go and restitute." Now, there's a clause to that. There are certain things the Holy Spirit will remind you. This thing you did, go and tell that person. If there's one the Holy Ghost specifically told you, go and do it. Or if there's nothing like that, enjoy your liberty. Enjoy. Tell your liberty, enjoy. The devil is angry with me all the time because I know what I know. I'm a free man. Enjoy my life. I'm not in any struggle. I live above the realm of sin. Grace of God is upon me. Shout hallelujah. Now, some of you think pastors are not being tempted with sin. We see more temptation than you. Some of you are a pastor, the devil will not near him. Eh? He near Jesus, how much more me? The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, and the Bible says, and he left Jesus temporarily. It means he came back. The Bible may not take record of some of them. The Bible says, and he left him for a while. Meaning, he went back to him. He went back to him. He left him for a while. And he went back to him. We see temptation. Most often I used to joke when I go to especially an higher institution to minister. I said, the reason I hold my microphone with left hand is so that you can see my ring. That you can know I'm married. But that's something that doesn't stop them. There was the day my wife told me. He said, my wife said, this lady is sending you messages. She's my daughter in the Lord. I don't suspect anything. My wife warned me. Said, this message, this one does not look like daughter. I said, no, why are you insinuating? And I noticed that's my daughter until around 9:30 before she started calling me. I said, what my wife is telling me is looking like it too. Until one day when I confirm it. So we see temptation too. Yeah. Praise God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Whatever struggle you are going through in your life, the power of grace is liberating you today. In the name of Jesus, you are free. But there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead, I will find myself still a slave to sin. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to, now he's not talking about his life in Christ now. He said, my new life tells me to do what is right, but the old nature that is still within inside of me loves to sin. A flesh. You like it or not, you are still a human being. And that's why I want to tell you, brothers, don't tempt God. If you sleep on the same bed with a sister, she is not your wife. You are tempting God. You are, there's still vein in you. Blood is still running. Hello. If an unbeliever sees a naked sister, the same way he will feel is the same way you will feel. If an unbeliever who had never been to church sees a naked woman, because you have blood, because you have been, you are still flesh. Born again does not remove your sexual organ. You have it in you. When an unbeliever sees a naked woman, the way he will react sexually, that is how you will react. Don't tempt God. The reason many brothers fell when we were in school is because they thought being born again has spiritualized their whole body. See, nothing will happen. So they start by speaking in tongues. Linga bada shate galalala. Retesiga. No one, let me not go into that. We saw things when we were in school. Oh my God. We saw things when we were in school. Kula ministration. They ministered kula to people's life. My schoolmate is here. Let me appreciate Pastor Kamiko. Let me appreciate her. I appreciate her very well. So she knows what I'm talking about. We went through issues when we were in school. Hallelujah. If you pass through higher institution and you survive it, you can survive anywhere. Yeah. Even America, you can survive. America is another dangerous place. If you don't have enough Jesus in you, maybe it's the reason you are busy. God is still denying you visa. Some of you want to die because of visa. God knows that if you go without current Jesus inside of you, we only say, bro, is that not bro here? We are you. Hallelujah. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I am in. This is the language of so many people. When will I be free from this? Somebody told me, say, I have fasted. I have done all kind of things. He said, but I just keep going back to the same thing. Just the same circle. One brother fasted for 7 days. The day he broke the fast, he slept with another sister. The sister got pregnant. 7 day fast. Holy Ghost, help our generation. You know, it took my wife know the case that we are talking about. It was a terrible issue. This is a brother when this brother mounts the pulpit. more talented. He plays keyboard, he plays bass guitar, he plays drum, he sings, he's a preacher, sound scripture quoting brother. And he could confine. And one thing we do today as soldiers in Christ, it is only soldiers in Christ that allow other soldiers to die. Instead, we start backbiting them and say, "Ah, brother, he's not strong. He's not strong in the Lord." And so we started praying with him. We started agreeing with the Lord that God will restore him. In the natural life, when a soldier is dying, another soldier carries him. But in Christianity, it's not like that. When one sister gets pregnant, it is in church you first know. They will start mocking. As soon as she comes to church, people don't want her to sit close. You pray for people when they are sick. You pray for them. He said, "Confess ye your sin one to another and pray for one another." When people fall into sin, when you notice a brother is in fornication, you don't start gossiping him and say, "That brother, I know him." Just speaking it. I know. You spend the time you use gossiping to gospel in prayer, would have made better arrangement for the life of that person. What a terrible life, predicament I am in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank you, God. Now look at the conclusion. I love conclusion. I love, how many of you love good end in movie? Yeah. I love good end. When something is going bad and it ends good. And that's the story of, Paul. He said, "Thank God, for it has been done by Jesus." I appreciate Jesus. You know, the way Paul is going, you'll be like, how come Paul survived? He said, "Thank God." In the meaning, he came to realize that what he's trying to do has been done. Tell your neighbor, say, "It has been done. Sin has been conquered. Thank God, it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free." And that's why, if you look at chapter 8, he said, "For therefore," you know, some of you, at times when you quote chapter 8 of Romans, you think, you will know that there's a place the story was coming from. When he said, "Now, for there is therefore no condemnation for they who are in Christ Jesus," he was talking about his experience in chapter 7. So he said, "Even though I mess up, something has been taken care of. I've been free." Let me tell you something. Whatever mess you have gone through in your life as a Christian, it is a message one day. It's a message. And God is planning something big for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are enjoying Jesus? Celebrate Jesus. "But there is therefore no condemnation for they who are in Christ Jesus." Now, let's look at Romans chapter 5 from verse 12. I'm going to conclude with that scripture, very important. Romans 5 and from verse 12. There are people who cannot resist the sight of a cold black bottle. Anywhere they see cold black bottle, Babadudu, they can't resist it. But the grace of God can make you resist it. There's a testimony of a brother here. He's seated here right with us. He used to smoke. Somebody was telling me that he told him lately that he that cannot, when he smokes cigarettes, and when he smokes cigarettes, it's becoming an addiction to him. But now, when he smells it, he feels like throwing up. Like, there's no habit that grace cannot break in your life, except the one you still want to hold on to. There's no habit grace cannot break. Me that is standing before you, my anger is dangerous. You know what they call dangerous anger? When I get angry, don't come close. I can even be dangerous to myself. But I realized that this will not take me far. I began to pray about it. I knew I was not going to have any successful relationship. I did not bother because of my level of anger. It was God that even sustained my courtship with my wife. I get angry too quick. If I call her, she didn't pick calls like 2-3 times. I will not call again. And by the time I call, I will start talking. Say, "How will I call? Where did you keep your phone?" But thank God today, even if she didn't call me, I'll still call again. I'll still call. I don't have option. I'll still call. Praise God. There's no sinner that cannot be a saint. And there's no saint that was not once a sinner. Today, we are what we are, Apostle Paul speaking. Can you see the reason he said in 1 Corinthians 15? "I am what I am by the grace." Can you see the reason? By what? The grace of God. I am what I am by what? The grace of God. So let's stop boasting. Amen. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 12. Very old, time is fast spent. We have to close soon. Time is fast spent. Now let's see what we can touch before we close. Romans 5 from verse. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. Listen to this. You are a sinner by nature. That's what the Bible is saying. Either you lie or not. Because it is in the nature from creation. When Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. That is if you are not born again. His sin spread death throughout all the world. So everything began to grow old and die. For all sinned because of the sin of one man. We know that it was Adam's sin that caused this, because although, of course, people were sinning from the time of Adam until Moses, God did not in those days judge them guilty of death for breaking his laws, because he had not yet given his laws. Listen, I have to read this again so that you can understand. Please follow me. We know that it was Adam's sin that caused this, because although, of course, people were sinning from the time of Adam until Moses. From Adam, Abraham, Noah, people were committing sin until Moses. Now, what happened until Moses? We are going to see it now. I told you three different dispensations. First dispensation is mention Adam to Moses is dispensation of promise. Moses until Malachi, when Jesus came, dispensation of the law. From Jesus until rapture, dispensation of grace. So you must understand and that's why you will know what applies to you in the Bible and what does not. Are you with me now? You will know why Psalm 51 should not be what you should be reciting. Because it is not given under a dispensation. Some of these things were given for us to learn. They are not written to us. They are written for us. Epistles are written to you. Am I confusing you? I'm confusing you. Praise God. Now look at it. From Adam to Moses. God did not in those days judge them guilty of death. Why? For breaking his laws. Because he had not yet given them his laws. His laws to them. Nor told them what he wanted them to do. So when their bodies died, it was not for their own sins. Since they themselves had never disobeyed God's special laws against eating the forbidden fruit as Adam. So from Adam now until law was given, men did not die because of their own sin, because there was no law. Are you with me now? That's what this man is saying. They died because of the sin of Adam, not for their own sin. Are you getting me now? Now, he said, what a contrast between Adam and Christ. Who was yet to come? And what a difference between man's sin and God's forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this one man, Jesus, say one man, Adam, another man, Jesus, through one, all became sinners. This way Paul is trying to bring the revelation. Every man was innocent until the law. Even though they died, they didn't die for their own sin. They died because they came after the order of Adam. He said the same way another man came. If you understand this, you are free forever. And look at this. He said, but this one man, Jesus, brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. The way Adam brought sin and death, men innocently died because of his sin. The same way Jesus brought forgiveness. Look at it. Through God's mercy. Adam's sin brought the penalty of death to many. Why Christ freely takes away many sins? Freely takes away many sins. Freely takes away many sins. And gives glorious life instead. He took your sin and gave you eternal life. Man brought sin. Man took it. Man brought sin. Adam, the reason Jesus had to come as a man was because it was through a man sin entered. So for sin to be taken, it must be through a man. Sin entered the world through a man. For God to be just, sin must have to be taken through a man. That's why the Bible says, anyone that does not believe that Jesus came in flesh and blood can never be born again. Because coming in the nature of a man, he identified with us and identified with sin. Now look at it. Holy Spirit, help me. This sin of one man, Adam, caused death to the king all over, but all who will take God's gift of forgiveness. How many of you have taken God's gift of forgiveness? All who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life. You are kings. The Bible says they will reign in life. The King James Version. Because of this one man, Jesus. I will stop here. My time is up. We will continue in the second service. If you think you want to enjoy the second part, you can wait for second service. I want to continue from where I stopped. And at times the Holy Spirit has a way of changing my topic, even in circles. So if you still want me to continue here, I will continue. Let me not promise you what I am not in control of. Rise up to your feet. Celebrate your salvation. Celebrate the gift of righteousness. Open your mouth, not just clap. Open your mouth and appreciate God and celebrate the gift of righteousness. Father, we are grateful. For this is the gift of God that has been given unto us. We are grateful. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen.